Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat Podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Well, we're going to talk about perseverance a little bit today. And what I mean by that is you've observed, having been in the pastorate for many years, that there are sometimes folks who will just have difficulty upon difficulty, fallback upon fallback occur, and it can compound even over years and just seem to pile up. You know, you could have a child that is having a major struggle of some kind, and then maybe that's followed by a divorce, and then maybe that's followed by financial setbacks, and then maybe it's followed by an illness, and then maybe that's followed by, you know. And folks, as they get older, sometimes this is happening, and they're trying to do their best to take care of themselves, and then all kinds of setbacks just fall in all at once. And it can really lead you to discouragement and maybe even cynicism. And so talk to us about that.
Wow. Well, this is life in the trenches, yeah, for Christians. And, you know, first of all, we as Christians should not expect anything different. Just kind of a sober talk here in a way up front that, you know, just because we follow the Lord doesn't mean our life's going to be perfect and carefree, pain-free. It's not. We'll experience many of the same things that non-Christians around us experience, of hard times, illnesses. So, you know, that's important, because I think sometimes we think, well, God hates me. You know, all these troubles are happening to me. God hates me. And that's not true. God allows us to go through trials, and they're the same trials others are going through. But there is a huge difference, and that is God's promises. God is with us in the midst of these, and he's working redemptive purposes through them. And that's what's hard to get a grasp on. But, you know, for people with, you know, just these long, enduring illnesses that just never seem to go away, or, you know, problems in their homes, with their children, or just, you know, maybe a spouse or something, that, and we can get to that place of absolute frustration and discouragement, and we feel perhaps abandoned by God. We don't feel his nearness. Life is just hard. Every day is an endurance race. And that a lot of the Psalms talk about that very thing. We've mentioned in times before some of these psalms of distress. And so one of the things that I would recommend for somebody going through a really, really difficult time is read through the psalms. I think of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? This is a person who feels abandoned by God, all on his own. He's just got himself to take counsel with, and his heart's just filled with sorrow. And so he pleads with the Lord, verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. And I think that's where a lot of us are. God, why aren't you doing anything in my life, in this situation? You know, don't you care? And the Psalms give us language to say that to God, the boldness and language. And, you know, one of the things that, again, I encourage the distraught soul to do is to dive into the Psalms, find these Psalms of distress. And a lot of times there are psalms of disorientation where, you know, Lord, you've promised things and I'm not seeing any of it, and I don't understand. And so we're confused, we're disoriented, and there's language to express our soul's frustration and to God, our despair. But then, one of the things that the Psalms do that are so helpful for us in these places is they lead us from that to the Lord Himself. You know, the psalmists never give up on God. And I think that's the great temptation in the midst of overwhelming circumstances. We, and especially for us Americans, we just live in an instant society. Mm-hmm. And that plays a role in how we perceive God and the expectations we have on the Lord. And so we really need to counterbalance that with faith. Faith that says, I will not move. I will not go away from you, Lord. I'm going to keep pursuing you. And that's what the Psalms do. The psalmists don't say, you've forgotten me, so forget you, God, and I'm out of here. You don't see that. What you see is a pressing deeper into the Lord with greater zeal almost. And that's where Psalm 13 ends, verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Mm-hmm. So there's the remembrance of how God did deal with me in the past. And that's then creates hope and a confidence God will yet do this still. And so I'm going to trust in his steadfast love. And of course, the love of God, the steadfast love of God is the greatest display of that is the cross. That's where any Christian can say, I know you love me, God, because Jesus died for my sins and you have not forgotten me. I don't understand. I don't like what's going on around me, but I will trust you, your steadfast love, your purposes, and I will praise you, even in the midst of what I'm saying. Seems like you've forgotten me, Lord. Where are you? The Psalms get, some of the psalmists get very bold with things they say to God. One of the Psalms, I can't remember which one it is, somewhere in the 70s, I think, but, take your hand from the fold of your garment. Basically, what he's saying is, you're standing around, God, with your hands in your pockets, doing nothing, and I'm getting clobbered. Take your hands out of your pockets and help me. And, that's bold praying.
Yeah.
But that's the place of desperation where where the psalmist is. And we are given that kind of language to give expression to our sorrows and troubles. So that's one aspect of dealing with this prayer. And pray the how long, O Lord, psalms. Make those part of your prayers. But then I think we also need to really fit our minds with what it means, with endurance and what that means. And I go to throughout the Old Testament, we're studying now the life of Abraham. And, God makes these great promises. I'm going to make a great name out of you. I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to give you the land. All the families of the earth can be blessed through you. Well, he has to wait 25 years, and he gets one son. That's it. And now he has other sons after Sarah passes away. He remarries and has more sons, and he has Ishmael as well. But this is the son of promise. But he has to wait 25 years for this child. And as far as the land, I'm going to give you, all he owns is the burial cave for Sarah at the end. And the book of Hebrews tells us that none of the promises came about in his lifetime. David was promised, he was anointed king, and here he goes and serves Saul and then is chased out into the desert and is running for his life for years. Yeah. And I think it's something like over 10, 15 years before he's really fully king over all of Judah and Israel. You have what I'm saying in the Old Testament is that there's this this call, there's a longing in the hearts of God's people for these promises to come, but there's a waiting for them to come. And that's the angst, so to speak, of the Old Testament. How long, O Lord, when will you do this? We're waiting for you. Come, O Lord, why won't you? And, that's the heart of the Old Testament, waiting. And of course, Jesus comes. and salvation, is brought to the nations. But still, the end of the book of the end of chapter 11 in Hebrews. It's just such a great chapter to read to help build faith. But there's this verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were, before that, all these great things of people by faith, what they accomplished, and they enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the fire, the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, became mighty in war, the dead were raised. So that's 35, Hebrews 11, 35, and what comes before it. But then you have this transition right in the middle of verse 35. Some were tortured. Oh, that's real happy. Refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these are the ones who live by faith.
Yeah. Okay?
I'm living by faith in God here, and I'm getting clobbered. And a lot of Christians do. And a lot of Christians are suffering with tremendous illnesses, falls, disabilities, job losses. And it's not things of their own doing. And here they are trying to stay faithful to God. This is the call to endurance. And we have verse 39 then, of Hebrews 11. And all these people who came before us, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Well, what's wrong with God, He makes promises but doesn't deliver. Well, that would be true if our life was only this life on earth. But it's not. And it goes on, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Mm-hmm. And so this endurance that we're called to is a matter of looking at the promises of God, but realizing the vast majority of these things, the fulfillment of them, is going to be when Christ returns. Mm-hmm. So I've got to hold on. And so, it's a bit of a wager, I suppose, we could look at it. Is Jesus worth it? Mm. Is it worth it to hang on in hope to these promises, trusting that this loving God will deliver on them someday? Yeah. And it may not be in my lifetime. I may be like one who's maybe like Abraham or a David who has to wait a long time, and Abraham didn't see any of the fulfillment really outside of the one son and a plot of ground. He didn't see how he became he was given a great name or became a great nation. He didn't see the land and its fullness given to him and his people. And so it's, the fulfillment is a future fulfillment that God will bring about. So, we're part of something bigger, I suppose, to say. And so even the person with their disability, with their setback, with, waiting in that waiting place. How long, oh Lord? You are part of something bigger. Mm. You may not see it, but you are. It's God's purposes in the world. And he will bring about his purposes for his glory and ultimately for our good in time. And so, prayer in the immediate, Lord, how long? And then having that mindset of, I am part of a bigger story of what God is doing in the world, and somehow this fits into it. And so, as I'm in that moment, giving praise to God, worshiping him, staying true to the Lord, though it is difficult, that is a testimony to the worth of God himself. And that's a beautiful thing in God's eyes, and that is a testimony to a watching world. Now, again, one more practical thing. God doesn't, Faith, Portia and I were reading this morning, and she was reading something in devotions about how some Scottish pastor or theologian, McIntosh, I think it was his name, talks about how faith puts its roots down, like a plant, puts its roots down in the soil of God's word. And as the plant grows up, like a vining plant, the tendrils grow up and grab hold of the promises of God. And that's
a great illustration.
Yeah, it's a great picture. You know, you put your faith down in who God is, what He's done in Jesus, and then all these promises that are out there in front of us. It's like, by hope, just grab hold of these things, like the vine of your life, grabbing hold of these things, and trusting that He will deliver. There will be tremendous fruit in some future time. But we have to wait and by endurance. But we don't wait alone either. Again, we have the Holy Spirit, God Himself with us, but He also puts us in the community of faith. And this is a tremendous gift. Those who grow discouraged and leave off of church, forget God, forget His people, they're really missing out on a tremendous encouragement and comfort and stabilizing factor in their lives, and that is the body of Christ. There are people who have gone through horrendous things all around us in this congregation, and being honest and vulnerable, saying, "Hey, I'm really going through it." If I suddenly got cancer, boy, I'd want to go sit at the feet of Don Vandergalien, mm-hmm. say, "Don, how did you do this?" In those discouraging days. I remember when we had issues with our teenage children, there was an older woman in the church that Portia just opened her heart to. And this woman said, oh dear, I know what you're going through. There were times when I had to sleep on the floor outside my daughter's door because she was getting up at midnight or 1 o'clock and getting out of the house, and I had to sleep there. And this was like for weeks and weeks she'd have to do this. And just hearing those stories and getting the prayers of those saints and the encouragements, was a tremendous encouragement to us and to Portia. So the body of Christ is such a gift to us. And, we need to take the risk to ask around, to be vulnerable, and to ask for the prayers of God's people.
Mm.
But I know I'm rambling on here, but this is a difficult issue, and we sure don't make light of anything that somebody's going through. And those who've been in that place of weakness and brokenness for years, they grow tired of themselves, and maybe they think others grow tired of them. But keep pressing in, praying, trusting God's word, looking to those promises, and asking the body, asking people, "Will you pray for me? Will you pray for us?"
Yeah, I'll add this little PS here too: is if you be willing to let someone come in and walk with you or help you, and if you need help, it could be really tangible. You might need some help in just sorting out a problem. If you're hearing what Richard is saying and you're not sure what to do about it, it's really this simple. If you were to just call the church office and say, "I need help, and here's what's going on," we will definitely respond. And it's a gift. It's a real gift. And not only will someone respond, but they'll lovingly respond, and they'll dive right in with you.
Yeah, just some of the, and I'm not going to attach any names, but there are people in our church who have had affairs. There are people in our church who've lost children in death, people who are struggling with cancer, people who've lost jobs, divorces, pornography addictions, eating disorders, any number of things that just common plague people. We've got them in our church. And yeah, if somebody's willing to say, "Hey, I'm struggling, I need to talk to somebody," call us, or just pray, "God, would you please bring those people by?" And certainly anything spoken to me would be held in absolute confidence. I promise I won't use anybody as a sermon illustration.
And I'll add to that. I struggle sometimes with just, I grew up in a farm family, and the ethos in my among the men in my family was that you just get stuff done, and you take care of things. You don't depend on people to get things done. You just go do it. But there's a loss in that, and you might think, as I can sometimes do, well, there's nothing anybody can do to help me with this. It's just what it is, and I just have to deal with it. But there's a big difference in having that to be simply true and having someone walk with you in that. Mm-hmm. That is a gift. And I'm encouraging you as someone who struggles with that sometimes, take advantage of this and share what's going on and let somebody love on you.
To have somebody who knows and, you know, cares, could pray and could be a sounding board, could ask perhaps more probing questions. And the really important thing is to get you rooted in the gospel.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And there's healing in the gospel. And so, yeah.
Good. Will you pray for us?
I sure will. Our Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that we are supported by the truth of your word and the hope we have in Jesus. Lord, you have made amazing promises to us. And if you delivered on Jesus and did not withhold your only son, but gave him up for us all, how will you not also now along with him graciously give us all things? Lord, you will do it in time. And we are fools to give up on you. We are fools not to believe your word. Lord, we don't want to be fools. We want to be those who endure, who press on, who hold on to you, who grab hold of those promises by hope and walk humbly and diligently with you. Lord, enable us to do that as a church. Lord, make us a house of healing with one another. Lord, we pray that we would have tender hearts with one another and we would become great encouragers and a place of healing, Lord, for the broken. We would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.